fifth case for today, which is Espinoza versus the United States. Mr. Butts.
May it please the court, counsel. My name is Edward Butts. I represent the plaintiff, Richard Espinoza. I'm appearing today in place of Mr. Paul Dahlquist, who was the trial attorney for Mr. Espinoza and who filed this appeal. Unfortunately, Mr. Dahlquist had to be out of state today, and I am taking his place. Your Honors, this is a medical malpractice case filed under the Federal Tort Claims Act relating to treatment that the plaintiff received at the North Chicago Veterans Administration Medical Facility on November 30th, 1994. Mr. Espinoza had been admitted to that facility in October for treatment of post-traumatic stress disorder, which dated back to his Vietnam and Cambodia experiences in 1969 to 1971.
Mr. Butler, I don't want to interrupt your train of thought, but isn't this a question of credibility?
Absolutely. Absolutely.
So what you're suggesting is what we do is substitute our judgment for credibility for that of the district court.
Let me withdraw my prior answer and modify it a little bit. Our fundamental position here, and obviously the issue is whether the district court's decision on proximate cause was correct. The district court concluded that there was no proximate cause here.
It's credibility.
He found the defendant's expert, Dr. Hanauer, to be more credible than the plaintiff's expert.
There we go. That's a credibility question.
Absolutely.
Okay.
Our fundamental problem with that, our fundamental objection to that, is that both the experts were testifying based upon their review of the Veterans Administration's hospital records. And therefore,
whatever they were using for their credibility or for their opinions, it boils down to which one of the two you believe. And he believed one over the other, and that is a credibility finding, is it not, Mr. Butts?
It is, except that I think you have to consider not only the testimony of each of the experts, but the court also should consider the medical records.
So we go back beyond the medical testimony and investigate whether their medical testimony, which was before the court too, so he had the same opportunity and makes exactly the same findings that we want us to make.
Right.
It still boils down to a credibility question, no matter how you slice it.
Well, a credibility question as to which expert to agree with, but I think a decision of whether the court was correct or incorrect with respect to his interpretation of the medical records. I agree we have a very heavy burden here. and I will cut it very short. The key medical record was the surgeon's report of the endoscopic surgery that was performed on November 30th after the episode of gastrointestinal
bleeding. Both of these experts testified, didn't they?
Excuse me?
Both of the experts testified, did they not?
Yes, they did.
Okay, go ahead.
Yes, they did. And they both relied and they both reviewed the records. The key record on which the defendant's expert testified was the surgeon's report of the endoscopic surgery on December 1st following the episode of bleeding the previous night. The important point is that at the time of that surgery, there was no bleeding. He was not bleeding at that time. It had been stopped. So the endoscopic surgery is where they stick a tube down your throat with a camera at the end and they look around and see what's wrong. They were looking for the source of the bleeding. They didn't find any actual bleeding. They found what are called esophageal varices or varices. I may butcher that word. I've never heard it pronounced. But they're enlarged, dilated veins coming out of the liver into the lower esophagus.
Something you don't want to hear pronounced.
That's right. That's absolutely or something you never want to have done either. That's one of the possible sources of the bleeding. The other possible source of the bleeding, which the plaintiff's expert indicated was, in his opinion, was the cause, was that in a prior surgery, about 2 months earlier, they had found a weakening of the lining of the esophagus, which even the defendant's expert agreed was the beginning of an ulcer. 2 months later, he has a bleeding episode. The surgeon's record of the surgery on December 1st says that they found no obvious ulcer. However, that record also indicates that there was a blood clot in the esophagus that was to some extent blocking their view and that they apparently were unable to dislodge. It's our position that the blood clot could in fact have been covering the the ulcer that had been causing the bleeding the previous day. The surgeon also concluded in that report that, in their opinion, the potential source of the bleeding, and they used the word potential, was the varices rather than the alternative. And based on that, Dr. Hanauer testified that, in his view, that was the cause. The problem is that it could also have been that that clot was covering an ulcer. That ulcer could have been the cause of the bleeding. The plaintiff's expert believed that it was the cause of the bleeding. Even the defendant's expert testified that if there were an ulcer there, ingestion of Motrin could have caused that bleeding. And following that treatment in subsequent hospitalizations, in the history portions of the record, I admit it was in the history portions, there's a repeated reference to bleeding after ingestion of Motrin tablets, which is consistent with the plaintiff's theory. Now, you know, the court discounted those because they're in the history portion of the record. Our problem is that even if they were stated by the plaintiff, where did the plaintiff get them, if not get that explanation, if not from the Veterans Administration physicians who treated them? And if it was not correct, why did it continue to appear, and why was there no record correcting it? So we believe that based on all the evidence, that the trial court gave too much emphasis to the defendant's expert's opinion and paid too little attention to the actual medical records themselves. And we say that when taken in conjunction with the plaintiff's expert, the district court's decision on proximate cause was erroneous, and we ask for reversal.
Understanding you weren't trial counsel, wasn't that argument made to the district court, the one you've just summarized for us with respect to the medical records?
Yes.
So the district court had that argument before it in terms of how the court should have interpreted the medical records?
Yes.
In addition to the expert testimony?
Yes.
Okay.
We simply disagree about how he did interpret it.
All right.
Thank you,
Mr. Buck. Mr. Wozinski?
May it please the court and counsel. I think the court has hit the nail on the head. Judge Cannelli heard all of the testimony, heard all of the same arguments that Mr. Butts has made this morning, and made the finding that Dr. Hanauer from the University of Chicago was a more credible expert witness on behalf of the United States, and therefore ruled in favor of the government. He saw those medical records and saw what was in those medical records. He heard the testimony of Dr. Hanauer, which was pretty clear on the fact that a single Motrin tablet could simply not cause the kind of bleeding that Mr. Espinosa suffered. It simply could not happen from a scientific aspect. And it's for that reason that we agree with Mr. Butts, who said that he has a very heavy burden before this court. It is a very heavy burden to meet that clearly erroneous standard, and we don't believe that the plaintiff has met that standard by any means. Judge Cannelli's decision was a well-reasoned one, based both on the evidence that was presented at court and the testimony that was presented in court. And for that reason, we ask that the court affirm the decision of the district court below.
Thank you. Thank you to both counsel. The case will be taken under advisement. We move now to the sixth case.